Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everyone online. So, so this morning I thought I would talk about the three bodies of the Buddha, also known as the Trayana. So, who has heard of the three bodies of the Buddha? Great. So some of you don't know like what this is about at all. So hopefully this will. Okay, so the way I want to talk about these three bodies of the Buddha is through a koan that Dogen liked that is in the collection of his 300 koans. And this koan is called Dungshan's Dharma Bodies. And it's also in the Book of Serenity. And there it's called Dungshan Always Close. So here's the case. Here's the main case. Dungshan was once asked by a monastic, among the three Buddha bodies, which one expounds the Dharma? Dungshan said, I am always intimate with this. Later, the same monastic asked Chaoshan, he said, the monastic said to Chaoshan, Dungshan said, I am always intimate with this. What does that mean? And Chaoshan said, if you need a head, chop my head off and take it with you. That was his response. All right, so that didn't go very well. And so the monastic went to yet another teacher, Shui Feng, and he said, he asked Shui Feng about this, and Shui Feng said, hit the monastic with his staff. So he said, you know, the monastic said, among the three Buddhas, which one expounds the Dharma? Or maybe he said, I am always intimate with this, what does it mean? And so, you know, Shui Feng goes, bang, hits him with his staff. And then he says to him, he says, I have always been to Dungshan. Okay, so what does all this mean? So, first of all, let's get the background information. What are the three bodies of the Buddha? So the three bodies of the Buddha are the Dharmakaya. So this means Dharma, which is the absolute aspect of reality, and Kaya means body. The other one is the Sambhogakaya. So Sam means enjoyment, Bodga means together, and Kaya means body. And the third body is the Nirmanakaya, which means the Nir part means coming from the Dharmakaya. Mana is to display, and Mana is to display our form, and Kaya is body. So that's kind of like those what the words mean. So what does that mean? So let's look at that. So if we look at the first one of these bodies, the Dharmakaya, here's what Suzuki Roshi said about the Dharmakaya. He said, Dharmakaya Buddha is an absolute body which is before form or color. You cannot see the Dharmakaya. There is no way to talk about the Dharma body. But if you will allow me to say something about it, we can call it truth itself. And then he said, truth is something which you cannot see. And the example he gives, I really like this. He says, you can see the apple, but you cannot see the theory of gravity. Right? So you can see the apple, but you cannot see the theory of gravity. So the apple falling and hitting the ground. Okay, so that's the Dharmakaya. This Dharmakaya is to say that it's kind of the underlying principle, if you will, of Buddha nature. You could say that the Dharmakaya is Buddha nature. It's things just as they are. So this isness, from the Buddha Dharma standpoint, and I would say from the standpoint of, because we believe that the Dharmakaya is essentially an altruistic event, the world functioning, how this isness is expressed is the job of the other two aspects of the bodies of the Buddha. Okay, so the Sambhogakaya, so this is called, usually translated as the enjoyment body. So this body, according to Suzuki Roshi, is the active vow of the Bodhisattva or the Buddha. So that's this active vow. So there's a timeless quality, an eternal quality, the Sambhogakaya Buddha. In the Lotus Sutra, this Sambhogakaya Buddha is talked about as the eternal Buddha. That's always presencing. So it's this active vow. So it has this timeless quality, and it is the eternal Buddha manifesting. And here's what Suzuki Roshi said about the Sambhogakaya. He said, although, now it's interesting because Suzuki Roshi uses the word he to talk about the three bodies, so obviously he's referring to Shakyamuni Buddha. But we don't have to use, you don't even have to use a pronoun. So this is kind of like the pronounless pronoun. You can say he, she, it, them, they, whatever. But he says he. Although he is the embodiment of the truth, without practice, he cannot attain enlightenment or he cannot express the truth. Okay? Although he is the embodiment of the truth, without practice, he cannot attain enlightenment or he cannot express the truth. Now, this is Suzuki Roshi talking about the Dharmakaya. All right? So the Dharmakaya aspect of the Buddha. Then he says, only when he actually, this Dharmakaya aspect, actually practices the truth we realize. And then this Buddha is called the Sambhogakaya Buddha. So Suzuki Roshi continues, thus the Dharmakaya is the original source itself. And the Sambhogakaya is the Buddha who realizes the Dharma in activity. Okay, so the Dharmakaya is the original source itself, and the Sambhogakaya is the Buddha who realizes the Dharma in activity. The Buddha who realizes the Dharma in activity. And this activity, so I'm no longer quoting Suzuki Roshi, this activity is universal. It's all-encompassing, but it's not specific. Okay, so that's an important piece of this. So we have the Dharmakaya, which is things just as they are, but it's not expressed. And then we have, so it is Buddha nature, but as Dogen says, this expression is called Buddhahood. The expression of Buddha nature, according to Dogen, is called Buddhahood. And so that is analogous to this aspect of the Sambhogakaya. But the Sambhogakaya in and of itself is universal. It is not specific. Suzuki Roshi compares it to the sun. He says the sun provides light, but the sun's light that it's providing is not a light that it's providing for others necessarily. It is just the sun manifesting the sun. But that manifestation in and of itself is efficacious and provides sunlight. Does that make sense? So this is this universal activity, and it's all-encompassing, but it's not specific, and it has no inside or outside. Its manifestation is without object, so that's why he uses this example of the sun. The manifestation is without an object. Does this make sense to you? The sun is the sun being the sun, and its object is not necessarily to illuminate the earth. And so for the sun, there is no inside or outside. There is just this pure activity of it expressing its sunness, if you will. But it's active. It's an active principle. So Suzuki Roshi said, he is actually helping others without trying to help. He can illuminate everything. So this is the Buddha we encounter in sutras, right? When you read a sutra and the Buddha shoots out rays of light out of his forehead. Or this is the Buddha that has the 32 marks of a Buddha. This is the Buddha that does all this kind of magical, wild, and crazy stuff. So that's the Sambhogakaya. So how the third one is the Nirmanakaya. And the Nirmanakaya, we usually say, is an historical Buddha. Like Shakyamuni Buddha is Nirmanakaya. So here again, quoting Suzuki Roshi, he says, the Nirmanakaya Buddha comes into this world with the vow that he will save all sentient beings. This is really interesting to me anyway. That this Nirmanakaya comes in with the vow. He says, Suzuki Roshi said, not by karma, but by vow, he appears in this world and practices the Bodhisattva way, attained enlightenment as Buddha did, and saves all human beings. So, most in Buddhist doctrine, most beings are reborn because of their karmic afflictions, if you will, that pull them into the next lifetime. But what pulls the Nirvanakaya into the next lifetime is this aspect of vow, the vow to save all beings. So this being that is called in, the Nirvanakaya Kaya Buddha, Suzuki Roshi said, so he is called an incarnated body of the Dharmakaya. So incarnate means to take bodily form. So he is the bodily form of the Dharmakaya. He changes his form, so this is still quoting Suzuki Roshi, he changes his form in various ways, sometimes to a bodhisattva, sometimes to a Buddha. He takes on various forms to help people. So in the widest sense of the word, everything is Nirvanakaya. But in the narrow sense, those who appear in this world by vow instead of by karma are called Nirmanakaya Buddhas. The Sambhogakaya Buddha is the original source of the Nirmanakaya Buddha. It gives birth to the Nirmanakaya Buddha. So what we have here is that we have the Dharmakaya, which is this vast isness, things just as they are. That has to be manifest, and that is manifested through this vow, through the Sambhogakaya, which is that aspect of the active principle of the Dharmakaya, but the specificity of how that principle is going to be expressed is through the Nirmanakaya. Okay? So those are the three bodies of the Buddha. And then you can see they're all essentially the same thing. They're different aspects of the same thing. So now, knowing that, can you solve the koan? Here's the koan again. Dungshan was once asked by a monastic, among the three Buddha bodies, which one expounds the Dharma? Dungshan said, I am always intimate with this. Dido Lori comments in his commentary on this koan, he says, this monastic questioning Dungshan wants to break up the truth of the universe into fragments and segments. Okay, but so a Dogen in the Shobogenzo, he refers to this koan with a kind of shorthand whenever he talks about it. He says, he'll always say, quoting Dungshan, I am always intimate with this. So when you read in Dogen, I am always intimate with this, he is referring back to this koan. So Dungshan was the Dharma heir of Hong Zhe, who said, remember the last lecture I gave? He said, if you want to get such a thing, you should be such a person. Since you are such a person, why worry about such a thing? Do you remember that? Okay, so this is the Dharma heir of Dungshan. If you want to get such a thing, you should be such a person. Since you are such a person, why worry about such a thing? So I am always intimate with this is the same thing as why worry about such a thing. So what is this, right? What is I? And how do we understand the word intimate? So, we are all engaged in the embodiment of the three bodies of Buddha. So, according to our understanding in Soto Zen, we are Buddha nature, which is another word for Dharmakaya. And since we are attracted to the Bodhisattva path, we are, by definition, born through vow. At least in part. We are born through vow. That's our connection with the Sambhogakaya. We are born through vow, not karma, not entirely through karma, and we are thus an aspect of the Sambhogakaya Buddha. Practice realization that we practice in Soto Zen is Nirmanakaya Buddha. That is the expression of the Nirmanakaya Buddha. So this is our vow. This is what we strive to understand, and it's what we strive to employ and embody. This is Dogen's understanding of birth and death itself is nirvana. So when Dongshan says, "I am always intimate with this," he knows that these three bodies are manifesting in each moment. Suzuki Roshi said, "Our way of understanding things is exactly the same as our zazen. When we say just sit, it includes all the potential activity which we have. We remain in an inactive state, but we have potentiality. So in this sense, our practice includes everything, so Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya. When we sit, each one of us is Dharmakaya Buddha. But within ourselves, even though we are sitting, we take breaths and our heart is beating, so we are also the Sambhogakaya Buddha. Furthermore," that's the end of the quote, and I'm adding, "furthermore, our effort to enact the skillful response, that's the Nirmanakaya Buddha." So we embody all three aspects of these three Buddhas. So each one of us are already intimate with these three aspects of reality's functioning. So this intimacy is knowing reality in all of its manifestations, and there is no need to break it down into categories, such as the three bodies. Intimacy is not an intellectual exercise. It is a deep, nonverbal connection that may be expressed verbally, but it cannot be explained with concepts. So intimacy is this non-verbal connection that we have. And we may be able to say what it is, but it can't be expressed in concepts. He says, "I am intimate with this." The I of "I am intimate with this," the I of Dongshan, is the I of the self as both particular and universal. So this I of Dongshan is the eye of the particular self, like you have a personality, you have a self, and then there is the eye of the no inherently existing self. So "I am intimate with this" has to be both of those things simultaneously. I am intimate, I am the Dharmakaya. The eye of no self is the eye of the Sambhogakaya, and the eye of I is the eye of Nirmanakaya. So he says, "I am intimate with this. And this is reality itself just as it is. This is the Dharmakaya. This is this full," you know, he's saying, "I am fully interbeing. I am fully present with my life. I am intimate, and this are not separate events. They are simultaneously functioning." And by the way, that's true for all of us as well, whether we're aware of it or not. That's where the earlier quote about, if you want to be a person such as this, you are already a person such as this. Why worry about being a person such as this? Okay, so next line of the koan, next part of it. So later this monastic asked Zhaoshan, "Dongshan said, I am always intimate with this. What does it mean? Chao Chan said, if you need a head, chop my head off and take it with you. And then the third line, the last part of this is also the monastic asked Zhui Feng about this, and Zhui Feng suddenly hit the monastic with his staff and said, I have also been to Dongshan. Okay, so let's look at the first one. Dai Lori says that Chaozhan's response, if you need a head, refers to, I will give you my intellectual understanding. So, you know, I'll cut off my head and give it to you. So, you know, in some ways we can understand this as the Nirmanakaya's response. If you want me to cut off my head to give you this understanding, I'll cut off my head to give you this intellectual understanding, because that's where you are. So therefore, I will respond to you where you are. This is the Nirmanakaya's response. So he's willing to do whatever the monastic needs in that moment to clarify his understanding. But Zhui Feng's response, where he hits him with a stick, oh, that's pure Zen. Right. That is this universal and specific response, both the universal and the particular, bang, bang, which is in that moment of being hit. You know, this morning I ran into the edge of the bed with my knee. Oh. Is that not like immediate? I am intimate with this. Right? Whack! I am intimate with this. So he's saying, reality is just this. It is, I am intimate with this. So, you know, when life hits us with a stick, we hopefully wake up and pay attention. When we are unskillful with others and we see their reaction, this is being hit with a stick. When bad things happen, what do we do? What is the stability in our lives? What do we return to? So when we are hit with a stick, what do we go back to as our foundational rock, if you will, of our lives? So we have the teachings, I give you my head. We have to apply these teachings, I am intimate with this, and that is the direct encounter of being fully present as the Dharmakaya. So sometimes we have to be hit with a direct experience, and none of us can avoid that. Like, that's life. So if we return to the koan, I would say that Dongshan and Zhui Feng are actually all three bodies of the Buddha at once. They are answering the question through who they are and what they are doing in that moment in relationship to the monastic. They are, as we all are, the Dharmakaya. We are all reality as it is. This is, I am intimate with this, Dharmakaya, as spoken by a person, as a Zen master, whose rebirth is not by karma, but by vow. That's the Sambhogakaya. Responding to a particular need of that student, Nirmanakaya. So Dongshan is completely manifesting all three bodies of the Buddha. He is the answer to that koan. So now, knowing this, can you say which one expounds the Dharma? Now can you answer the koan? So now you know the answer, don't you? But do you? Do we really know the answer? Do we have faith in, you should be such a person, since you are such a person, why worry about such a thing? So we already are such a person, and we are by definition intimate with this. So how do we incorporate and practice realization this as our particular life? That's the question. And the answer to the living every moment of your life by vow. But guess what? This is hard to do, because it involves letting go. It involves getting out of the way of our small self. And getting out of the way is hard because sometimes we know what that is and we can do it. Sometimes we know what that is and we can't do it. Sometimes we don't know and we do it. And sometimes we don't know and we completely miss the mark. So this is the life of a human being, right? This is how it is. So we really make that effort and practice to wake up and see what we cannot see. Try to open up to what we can and respond. Each moment is our teacher. Sometimes we are enjoying a calm and sweet cup of tea. And at other times the cup breaks, or maybe our hands shake and we spill it, the liquid all over somebody else's lap and ours as well. But we have to keep practicing. That is the vow, right? To keep practicing. That's the Sambhogakaya Buddha who says, come on. And the Nirmanakaya Buddha who says, just this, this life right now, this cup of tea, this cup of tea. And the Dharmakaya that is supporting all of this simultaneously. So we continue our practice and make our best effort to wake up. This courage to continue is life's force. The Dharmakaya and this effort is our vow, the Sambhogakaya. And as manifested here and now is the Nirmanakaya. So do not forget, I am always intimate with this. Thank you.